Charles Barkley is tall, rich, famous, and probably has the second most identifiable silhouette of a bald man after Michael Jordan. Mr. Barkley is the featured basketball commentator on TNT. He is considered to have been one of the greatest basketball players ever, an 11-time All-Star with the Philadelphia 76ers, the Phoenix Suns, and the Houston Rockets. Mr. Barkley and reporters had what talk show psychiatrists might call a mutually codependent relationship. Mr. Barkley was loquacious, outspoken, and often incautious, so reporters would ask him questions about sports, life, and politics. He's co-authored a book with Washington Post sports columnist Michael Wilbon, I May Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. And when we interviewed Charles Barkley the other day, we asked, why write a book?
That's a good question. I just think that I'm at a stage in my life that I want to try to make a difference. I've been very lucky. I'm very blessed. And I've obviously had a great life. And then you wake up and you're 35, 36 years old and you're retired. You have a lot of money. You have a big house. And then you say to yourself, there's got to be more to life than that. Mm-hmm. And if you, when you've read the book, it's just more about life. It has some sports in it. I mean, sports is always my big catch because that's what people know me for. But you, mm-hmm. When you read the book, it's more about life and how I think I can help society more than anything else.
I want to ask you a few basketball questions.
Sure.
What do the European players who are coming into the NBA bring to the game?
Well, I think I think it's great. I think, number one, because I just want to see the best basketball players play. You know, I got in an argument with my co-anchor last year because he started complaining because a lot of players in the draft were forward. I'm like, so? They're good players. I want to see the best players. And basketball is probably maybe the best world-renowned game other than soccer there is. Mm-hmm. And I just want the best players. And the foreign players are terrific. They work hard. I think they're not nearly as spoiled as the American players who come out of high school and college because they've had a tough life. And if you just look at their progression, they progress faster, but they work so hard, they take it as a privilege to come to the NBA.
A lot of them are coming from war-torn backgrounds, as you note in the book, too.
Yes, and that makes them like, they're just glad to be here. You know, the thing I've learned the most about America, and first of all, this is by far and away the best country in the world. We take so much here for granted, and we don't work nearly as hard as some of the people who come here, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. When you take a look at your friend Michael Jordan out on the court now, what do you feel? What's your reaction?
I don't like it. I do not like it at all because he's my friend. Mm-hmm. You know, the only people who want Michael Jordan out there are people who make money on him. And Michael has been like a brother to me from the first time I met him when I was in college. It makes me sad to see him out there because he can't win. Because, number one, he's older. And, number two, he's playing against the legacy of the greatest basketball player ever. So it's a situation where he can't win. I'm going to try to enjoy this last few months of watching the greatest player to ever play. But it's painful for me at times when I see guys who can't play playing better than him. Because a lot of these guys can't play. I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, and they're competing against Michael like he was 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he can't sustain it, and they're taking advantage of it.
Without taking advantage of any personal knowledge you might have for conversations with him, but do you think he is enjoying it?
No, he's not enjoying it at all. He can't. Because, number one, Michael can't handle losing. When I made my decision to retire before the season started because I knew that guys who couldn't play were kicking my butt. So for Michael, who's the greatest player ever, it's got to be even doubly humiliating for him to have guys who really can't play coming after him. So there's no way possible with the losing and him not being able to play up to Michael Jordan's legacy, there's no way he could be enjoying this.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things you say in this book is that you're comfortable with the fact that you didn't win any championships.
I'm very comfortable with that because basketball is what I did. It's not who I am. I've always known that I felt like this is not going to define me. And, mm-hmm. and I'm explaining that to you because if somebody wants to say to me, just because I didn't win a couple more games, everything I've done is irrelevant, that's stupid to me. You know, mm-hmm. I was a couple of games away from winning the championship. So really, if I'd have won two more games, they would say, okay, that justifies your 16 years of playing basketball. But because I didn't win it, they said, well, your 16 years don't matter. So that is just asinine to even comprehend. But I don't want any athlete to be defined as a man or a woman by how many games they've won or lost. I mean, that's the real reason. I hope that every athlete out there, they want to be a great man, they want to be a great husband, they want to be a great father, they want to be a great boyfriend. But I don't want anybody to be defined by what they accomplish in sports.
One last question, if I could, Mr. Barkley. Have you had as much fun in your life after basketball as you did when you were a player?
No. And this is kind of the weirdest thing. It's fun. I had a conversation with a friend of mine this weekend who was a great athlete. And she says, do you think that she was doing – I was interviewing for a show. Actually, her name is Gabby Reese. She's doing a new television show, and she was saying to me, do you think it's comprehensible that we've already enjoyed the best time of our life? I said, well, I think I have. I don't think there's anything better, number one, than playing sports for a living. Mm-hmm. And no matter what I accomplish for the rest of my life – it might be more significant or whatever, but it sure won't be nearly as much fun.
Mr. Barkley, thanks so much. Nice talking to you.
Hey, no problem. You take care of yourself.
Speaking with us from New York City, Charles Barkley. He is the author of a new book, along with Michael Wilbon, called I May Be Wrong, But I Doubt It.